Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
ESPN Upstate presents Straight Up with Sturge with Mark Sturgis. Served up by Smoke on the Water, 1 Augusta Street in beautiful downtown Greenville.
Please.
Call 844-GSP-ESPN. Interact now. Text 47183 or hit us up at ESPNUpstate.com.
Listen in Greenville at 105.9 FM. Martinburg at 97.1 FM. Yeah!
And now, Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
Welcome in Upstate. A Thursday edition of Straight Up with Sturge is on the air. Mr. Aaron Brenner sitting to my left. Josh Phillips will be in his seat here in about 60 seconds. And Diesel back at the ESPN Upstate studios. And we're going to take you up till 7 p.m. and have a little fun today talking a lot of football. We're going to talk a little bit of Ryder Cup later on because shots have already been fired up there in Hazeltine up in Minnesota, and it was Danny Willett's brother. The Americans are using it as a chip on their shoulder, and the Europeans are apologizing for it greatly. So we already have drama at the Ryder Cup before we ever get started. But, hey, real quickly before we get going, I want to tell you at 5:05, of course, Aaron Cheslock from Fox Carolina. Later on, Greg Blatt's going to stop by for a few minutes. He's the executive director for Coaches for Character. They're having their next meeting speaker on Monday night. It'll be Tubby Smith. We're set to have Tubby Smith on Monday. Price will be hosting the show as I take the day off. But real quickly before we get rolling, I got to give thanks to the Greer Touchdown Club. Went out there and spoke earlier today. Great group. Five different high schools represented. Nelson Welps, the former Clemson place kicker, in charge of it. So, by all accounts, I guess it went pretty well. They've already asked me to come back again next year, so that means I didn't tick too many people off. But Aaron Brenner, we're going to talk some Clemson-Louisville here in this first half because why? Something tells me there's 8:22 Saturday night, something going on.
It's that magical three numbers in college football, 8:20, or two numbers, I guess, 8:22. I was going to say 8:22.
Yeah.
But nobody says it's at 8:22 o'clock.
So we'll talk about that. Josh Phillips sitting down. How you doing, big boy?
Doing well.
All right. You ready to go through the next 3 hours, cut it up a little bit, have some fun, because we can now tell you if you want to get a refund on your ACC football championship game tickets, you can go to the ACC.com. It is now official. Earlier today, they have now moved December's ACC championship game to Camping World Stadium in Orlando. So, you know what? That's going to change things for people.
Because nothing says camping like Orlando, Florida.
He's in that stadium.
It's a silly name of a stadium. At least not Smoothie King Arena like in New Orleans. Listen, the ACC, in terms of the logistics of tickets and refunds and purchasing, they've handled this, I think, about as well as they could have. They are offering full refunds. That includes face value, taxes, handling, any of that stuff that fans might have paid, through the official distributors, of course. Anyone who had bought tickets when the game was in Charlotte, they're going to get a full refund. And on top of that, those people who had purchased tickets are going to have a three-day window starting next Wednesday if they would like to go ahead and purchase tickets for Orlando. And nice thing for Clemson Louisville fans, Sturge, they're going to have a much better idea in about 60 hours or so here whether their team will be in it. And of course, listen, Wednesday, it's well before Clemson visits Florida State. But no matter what, whenever the ACC Atlantic champion is crowned, they're still going to keep open tickets for that school's fan base. So as far as the logistics of moving a conference championship game on just a couple months' notice. I think the ACC's done a pretty good job of trying to make sure that the fans aren't screwed.
Orlando right now has been the landing spot for several different things. Puerto Rico tip-off is going to keep their name the Puerto Rico tip-off, but they have now moved that to the Wild World of Sports Complex at Disney. Clemson's playing in this tournament.
Yeah.
But a really impressive deep field, no less.
Oklahoma,
Xavier, Missouri, Northern Iowa.
Yeah.
Tulane, a bunch of good teams, but that's because of being concerned about the Zika virus down in Puerto Rico and Simply Health. Also, most people thought that they would be able to go in Little John Coliseum for the first time when the Tigers open against Georgia on, November 17th?
11th.
November 11th. However, earlier today, it was put out, Clemson basketball has added an exhibition on November 3rd against Lander. So if you want to get in and get a sneak peek of the arena, you'll be able to do that on November 3rd.
I'm surprised they hadn't already announced that. Typically, teams have one or two, I think usually two, home exhibitions. And I know that certainly they want the hubbub to be around Georgia, Clemson, but it's going to be that way. I think they definitely will benefit from having an exhibition to have the workers get used to things, have the teams get used to things, referees, everybody involved, parking attendants, everybody involved. So, good for Clemson for opening with the exhibition on November 3rd. And also nice of them to have the opener, the exhibition, as well as the Georgia opener, right around home football games. Did not work that way last year when Clemson basketball was hosted in Greenville. All the beat writers were up in Syracuse for the opener.
All right, Josh, we got NFL on ESPN Upstate tonight. It's Miami at Cincinnati, and convince me, do the Dolphins at this point have a shot? Because Cincinnati just far more power, more weapons, but Miami's just a team that hadn't really been able to find any rhythm this year, and I just completely believe if Andy Dalton and AJ Green and the running backs get any type of momentum tonight, that would be a home win for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, Cincinnati's coming off getting, last week against Denver, got throttled pretty good in their own stadium. So I think they'll bounce back. Miami isn't exactly setting the world on fire right now. Tannehill, I give the guy a pass a little bit because we don't know what type of coaching that kid's had since he's been in there. There's been massive staff turnover almost since the time that he's gotten there. He's talented. There's no question about that. He can throw the football as good as anybody in the NFL. It's just I don't know what type of information he's receiving on game day, but I like Cincinnati in that game.
I do too, and you'll be able to hear that at 8:30 right here on ESPN Upstate. And of course, tomorrow night I believe we have Burns football on. I don't think Burns is off this week. I know there are a few local high schools that are that get a bye week, and of course that means they started in quote unquote week number zero, which again makes absolutely no sense to me. Just make that week number one and keep backing it up. But don't try to add anything legitimate to the situation. We call it week number zero. But of course, the star of the show,
just because you get confused easily.
That is it. But, I keep going back to the movie Spinal Tap in that regard, Diesel, when he's showing him his amp.
Yeah.
And his amp goes up to 11. He goes, well, why don't you just make 11 10? He goes, because 11's 20.
I bet it was really hard for you when you used to sit around with Leslie Brooke and watch Hannah Montana. You're like, I can't figure out why when she puts the wig on, she becomes Hannah Montana when she's actually Miley Cyrus. I'm sure that racked your brain for years.
It did. It's kind of like, why do I know this guy Diesel on air, yet it's somebody off the air when we meet for a production meeting? Is that pretty fair?
I have multiple personalities up there, okay?
All right, but Clemson-Louisville, the star this weekend, guys. And here's what Clemson and Brent Venables are going to be up against when it comes to Louisville's offensive numbers. They are quite frankly insane. Bobby Petrino's offense, number one in the nation in scoring at 63.5 points per game. Number one in yards per play, 9 yards.
By a wide margin.
Yeah. Number one in rushing at 7.8 yards per carry, and the Cardinals are scoring touchdowns on 81% of their trips to the red zone. Lamar Jackson, 25 touchdowns by himself. That would be tied second nationally as a team, only behind Michigan's 28.
The record for scoring, just to let you know, was by Army in 1944. They averaged 56 points per game. So if they keep this up, watch out. That may be a bad night for Clemson Tiger fans on Saturday night, but that means a lot of teams are going to be having bad days and nights against Louisville moving forward.
Last weekend, because I think this way, I'm a fantasy football player, so I plugged in Lamar Jackson's stats as to what he would have been averaging, you know, if he was in standard NFL fantasy football scoring, which most players know that, like, for quarterbacks, 20 is a good game, 30 is a great game. Lamar Jackson, through four games, would be averaging 56 fantasy points a game through four games. These numbers are out of this world. To call them video game numbers, I don't think video gamers can produce a quarterback that can do this. But the great, you know, asterisk or the qualifier here, these four defenses that Louisville has played, Charlotte, Syracuse, Florida State, Marshall, these are not good defenses. And that's no disrespect to Louisville's offense. They have a tremendous offense. They're going to be a tremendous offense all year long. These are not four good defenses. So these historic numbers, I don't think you can definitely anticipate that Lamar Jackson's going to produce five, six touchdowns all by himself on Saturday night.
Josh, let me ask you. You're the one that's been in the locker room, delved with the game plan, met with coaching staffs to figure out what y'all are going to kind of pepper your kids with throughout the week. Do you think the Tigers right now might be using the – getting a little bit back of what I felt like they fed off last year was a chip on their shoulder about the respect factor? Because this is honestly maybe the only time you get to play this card this year, because, you know, Louisville, again, awfully good, kind of flavor of the month. You know, you listen out there, the betting is now definitely going Louisville's way. The media is talking Louisville. So, you know what? I'd use whatever I could Saturday night to get to 5-0, but would you, as your coaching staff back in the day, would this be the time to maybe bring out that mantra again, hey, it's about us, circle the wagon, they're not giving us any respect?
Well, in this game, no, okay. And I'll tell you why. You've got the number three team or number two team, whoever you listen to, prognostication out there, whatever they're ranked. You've got coming into your town. You've got game day here. You've got the weatherman is going to comply finally, and we're not going to have a monsoon like we did
last
year.
Hallelujah.
Okay. It's at 8:22 prime time. You got Bobby Petrino. You got, I don't know, is Brent Musburger going to be doing the game? Well,
Chris Fowler.
So it's going to be Chris Fowler and Herb Street and all those clowns. Okay. But that being said, it doesn't matter. Okay. All of that stuff doesn't matter. You've got the number three team. You are ranked fifth in the country. You are playing at home. You are on national television. You have got the Heisman Trophy favorite now that has been all over the country. Okay, right now, if you were to walk in Clemson's locker room, you better believe they got blow-ups of Lamar Jackson all over that. Every one of those defensive linemen have got Lamar Jackson blowed-up poster coming to your house. Okay? That's what all they're seeing all week. Blew out Florida State 63-0. What are you going to do? You going to let them come into your house and blow you out 60-something-0? What are you going to do? You got all the media telling you it ain't worth a darn. Your offense sucks. Nobody can score points. You got game day coming, man. What are we going to do?
Dabo should hire you for Saturday night.
You know what I'm saying? Carlos Watkins, what are you going to do when Lamar Jackson comes down that line on that read option? You just going to fold? What are you going to do, man? And I think that's something that these coaches – all week, everybody keeps asking me, well, did Jadar Johnson's comments, add any fire? No, Louisville's coming to Death Valley, fifth ranked. There is no amount of emotion, there is no amount of motivation that you can add on top of this game just to the enormity of the game itself.
I have a question for you, and this is going to come.
You tell I'm fired
you want
up.
Me to hang on?
Yeah, because we need to. We got a little different break schedule.
Okay.
So
this is your
first week on this, so get used to it when I go, hey, man.
I was looking at the clock, too. I was responsible.
Exactly. Right. And so. I think right now, and you better believe that Robbie Caldwell, he's got the defensive front. See, to me, this game is very, very simple. I'm not worried about Lamar Jackson. Clemson's defense is going to be fine. The one concern I've got is Clemson's offensive line. And I said this on day one. My biggest concern is Clemson's offensive line going against Louisville's front four. If Clemson can somehow slow them down up front, the Tigers are going to be just fine. So, and you better believe all those guys, Robbie Caldwell's got all the blowouts of Fields and Burns and all those guys up there. So, that's the thing that you got to focus on up front is we have got to come out and be a physically dominant football team. Bobby Petrino and Grantham, they're telling their guys the same thing. Yeah. Okay?
This is big boy football.
But this is big boy football right here. Dabo's going to get in the middle of that big tiger paw in that locker room, and he's going to look at everybody kid in the eye, and he's going to go, this is why you come to Clemson. These are the games of why you come be a Tiger. Now, what are you going to do with the opportunity?
Well, what we're going to do is we're going to head out. When we come back, Aaron Brenner's got a question for Josh. You can get in with us. It's open phones in the first hour till 5:05. Our good friend Aaron Cheslock, also when we return, C.J. Spiller finds a landing spot. We'll give you that information as well. This is Straight Up with Sturge, live on ESPN Upstate.
From Clemson to Carolina, if it's sports, we're talking about it.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg. 97.1 FM and 950 AM. Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
All right, welcome back in. We're live at Smoke on the Water. Aaron Brenner of the Charleston Post and Courier, the Clemson Tiger beat writer here. Coach Josh Phillips, you can follow Brenner on Twitter simply at Aaron_Brenner. Josh at Josh ESPN Upstate. Diesel back there at Diesel on Radio. And, of course, me at Sturgis Sports. And you can also come see us tomorrow for Crown Royal Friday. And we'll be at Major's Discount in Anderson on Civic Center Drive. Here's the deal. We'll have the DJ Jill Strange from Gay Day popping by over there live on location. We should have some other game day interviews from that crew, as well as our guest picker this week, Rachel Wyatt, the recent runner-up for Miss America. That's a former rally cat at Clemson University. So she'll make this show look better tomorrow. But the star of the show is, quite frankly, going to be those two tickets that we give away at 6:45 for the Clemson-Louisville game. Listen, you could almost pay a half a semester's tuition right now on the secondary market for a couple of tickets to this game. So also, we'll let you know, C.J. Spiller just signed with the running back needy Seattle Seahawks. So he will be headed out northwest. Stay out of Starbucks out there, CJ. You'll never go to sleep. There's one on like every street corner in Seattle. It is absolutely unbelievable. But before we go to the phones, Brenner, you had a question for Josh, and expand on that for me a minute.
Well, we're picking up on the last segment when Josh gave an any given Sunday quality pep talk. That was fantastic. That was made for Friday Night Lights right there. But, Josh, I'm curious. I want your feedback, both as in your coaching background and just observing Clemson, a Clemson program that has thrived on the disrespect angle. How much do you really have to pull out of these guys ahead of a matchup like Louisville-Clemson? I get it when you're like, oh, you got to treat every game the same. You got to train them on, you know, don't overlook Troy. But I understand, at least that makes sense, but do you really need to do a lot of ranting and raving and pointing at the SI cover and pointing at the point spread and all that ahead of this game? Because don't these players, Josh, have enough motivation? I'm curious your thoughts on that from a coaching perspective.
Well, here's what you do. The coaches started getting these guys' minds right on the bus ride back from Atlanta. Okay. Meaning, as soon as they took their shower, as soon as they got on that bus coming up 85, they got handed a scouting report that said the Louisville Cardinals, number two ranked, whatever, number three team, whatever. If you're on the offensive side, you'll have the defensive breakdown of Louisville on there. And with the star players that are the bell cows, like on the back end, if you're the wide receivers, Jeff Scott and them, and their scouting report on the top, it's going to be Josh Harvey Clemens. You got a 6'5", 230-pound safety sitting back there. You know, Artavis Scott, what you going to do? You going to run away from him? You going to go hit him in the mouth? What you going to do with him? You know, the same thing with the defensive front. You're going to see Fields over there if you're Frew Morgan or Mitch Hyatt, and you're going to have those guys. you know, Big 12 rookie of the year, or freshman of the year a couple of years ago, All-American last year. So they started getting their minds, and it's not so much on the periphery things, okay, on the betting lines and on what me and you and Mark and every thousand other media outlets.
At least that's what we hear, the beat writers. They know the line. They know all this stuff.
They're hearing here's the funny thing. We think our job's so important. They hear the same things in class, in their biology class, that they hear from us during the week, okay? So the thing that you're trying to do as a coach is get them focused on your individual matchup.
Sure.
On Mitch Hyatt. That defensive end across from you is going to go in the top 10 in the NFL draft. What are you going to do with him this week? Coach Scott, are we going to need to chip him this week? Are we going to get – well, let's see if he can handle him in the first series. We might need to chip. We might need to slide out. We might need to put Leggett over there. We may need to put a tight end. It all depends on athletically how those one-on-one individual matchups. And that's what the coaches have done from last Friday night, however late it was, till now, is have each player identify what their role and how they're going to go execute that role against Louisville, whether it's their defensive personnel, whether it's their offensive personnel. And then what the coaches try to ascertain is, okay, where's that weakness at that we can exploit? Where is Josh Harvey Clemens loves to come up and knock people out? You know what, though? That's a weakness, because now play action opens up the middle of the field. And so those are things that you build your entire game plan around, are those individual matchups, those individual units, offensive line, defensive front, offensive line, front seven with tight ends. You know, how are we going to keep that pressure? I guarantee you, on the ride back from Atlanta, Dabo looked at Jeff Scott and Tony Elliott and went, all right, how are we going to protect our quarterback? How are we going to keep Deshaun upright? How are we going to get him out to the perimeter? I think you're going to see a lot more bootlegs, a lot more waggles, a lot more nakeds out of Deshaun to get him away, because one of the things that Grantham loves to do, he runs out of an odd front 3-4 scheme, but he loves getting those outside linebackers up there into an 8-man front and bringing pressure. The mistake that Clemson can't make is bringing in their tight ends, because when you tighten up your formation to protect your quarterback, you're feeding into the odd front. You got to spread them out more. Look for Clemson to go a lot more empty set. Everybody keeps asking me, what are we going to see out of Clemson that we hadn't seen before? I am not going to be astonished if in the first 3 or 4 series, Deshaun comes out and there ain't nobody in the backfield and you got 5 wides, or Wayne Gallman is sitting next to him and goes in motion out into an empty set, because that's going to get that pressure off of Deshaun and let him make quick decisions.
All right, let's get Jim in before the break. Jim wants to talk Clemson-Louisville. Welcome in.
Well, I think Clemson's going to beat them. Of course, I'm a Clemson fan. I don't think Louisville offense is going to be able to hold Clemson's front defense. I really don't think so.
It's been tough to handle them so far this year. So
there's a lot of meat up on that front defensive line. And I want to ask Coach Josh something real quick. What do you think about Notre Dame joining the ACC and football and everything?
All right, thanks, Jim. We appreciate it.
It's too tough a league. Duke just took them to the woodshed in South Bend this past week. They might want to try joining the Big 12. No, in all seriousness, Jim, they need to do it. I mean, in the landscape of college football, with the way the power structure, and I've said this for 5 years, the Power 5 conferences are going to break away from the NCAA and form their own league. It's already in the process of happening. Okay, Notre Dame cannot do that transition and be left out. They're halfway in the ACC now as what are they technically called? A non-football member football play. I mean, they don't play. They play an ACC schedule, but they don't compete for the conference championship.
Yeah, they only play 5 games
at the end. So with the way the power structure of college football is going, Notre Dame needs to join the ACC. I thought it was a good move by Notre Dame at first, because they really have no liability and they reap all the benefits. But they've got to figure out how they want to do it, and they better do it now, because Louisville's not going anywhere, Clemson's not going anywhere, Florida State's not getting anywhere, and they just found out you better be able to beat the Duke Blue Devils, because if you don't, then you're not going to have a chance against the top four.
All right, let's head out to break. When we come back, 2 more segments of Open Phones. Of course, Aaron Cheslock coming up at 5:05, but Aaron Brenner has been in the press conferences Monday, Tuesday. Let's find out some of the things that he saw and some of the things that he's been writing about as we're live at Smoke on the Water right here on Straight Up with Sturge.
Sports talk from the upstate for the upstate.
Listen in Greenville.
105.9 FM and 1330 AM.
Spartanburg.
97.1 FM and 950 AM. It's Straight Up with Sturge on ESPN Upstate.
All right, welcome back in. We're live here at Smoke on the Water. Aaron Brenner of the Charleston Post and Courier, Coach Josh Phillips, and myself. And Aaron, of course, don't forget the star of the show. That's Diesel back there at the ESPN Upstate Studios. And, of course,
he's the glue guy.
He's more than the glue guy. He's the guy that makes us go. So Diesel never gets enough credit for what he do, what he does, what he does here. Yeah, what he does.
I think you're the glue guy. I think you've been sniffing the glue.
12 straight days of work probably has me about as speechless right now as you can get, man. I am floating into a couple of days off on Sunday and Monday. But, Brenner, you've been over there on campus Monday and Tuesday. You know, what was the message? What was the mantra? What did you figure out from this football team after four games?
I think that depends on who you ask. I think some defensive players are more reverent of Louisville's offense than others. I think some are more overly confident in Clemson's defense than others. I think Deshaun Watson is probably back to feeling fairly confident coming out of the Georgia Tech game. I mean, the first half and down there in Atlanta was the closest that Watson has looked to his 2015 self. I think Louisville has had the Clemson coach's attention through most of the offseason, and none of this really surprises them as far as their performance as an overall team. You know, I Lamar Jackson obviously has been a revelation for them. Certainly the coaches had high expectations over there at Louisville for Jackson, but, you know, with Clemson, I think they expected the Cardinals to be a really tough task. I mean, Clemson's 33-2 at home the last 4-plus years, but they knew that this Louisville team was going to be game. I mean, you just look at the last two matchups. This Louisville team could be 2-0. And so I think the idea of overlooking Louisville at all going into the year, I don't think that was going on within the Clemson walls.
No, because to a couple assistant coaches throughout the summer and, you know, at camps and stuff like that, they're like, you know, everybody wants to focus on Florida State here at Clemson, but the team that pops up off to us on film individually is Louisville.
Yeah, totally agree.
You know, at some point, you got to call them what the land. Diesel, how did you put it one day on the air when you were describing somebody, what, Land of the Misfit Toys? Was that you?
That was not me.
All right. Well, the point being, look at where people, how and they ended up at Louisville. You know, a lot of second chances out there, a lot of transfers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look at their leader at Bobby Petrino and getting a second chance at Louisville.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a different ball club in Louisville that's been built in a completely different way to a certain extent than the Tigers have.
Interesting. Yeah, especially Josh Harvey Clemens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Josh talked about him a little bit earlier. Yeah, I mean, that moving on from Georgia and moving in with Grantham and everything Grantham's done. This is the fourth straight year Todd Grantham has coached against the Tigers because he was there at Georgia when there in 2014 and 2013 now. It's an interesting way to look at it. I mean, this Louisville team, I've been saying that one of the arguments for Clemson against Louisville as a program is that Clemson is just deeper. You know, Clemson's 85 is more comparable to Florida State's 85, which are both just a deeper set of guys than Louisville has. And that's probably fair, but that's how you build a program.
Right.
And Louisville's probably in the mix, you know, presuming, if Bobby Petrino decides to stick around this time, he may be in the midst of building Louisville into a national contender. They're not there yet, but I think he's getting closer than he was the last two seasons. However, on Saturday night, October 1st at 8 p.m., Louisville's 85 doesn't have to be better than Clemson's 85. It's 22 versus 22, yeah. And that's where I think this game is extraordinarily dangerous for the Clemson Tigers.
Josh, real quickly before we go to Vol Nation on the phone lines, Josh Harvey Clemens, again, you got to love the physique, 6'5", as you mentioned, 230, 235. You think if there's a deep pass on the last play of the game in the last 10 minutes, he might have learned to knock it down this time instead of go for the interception? Because, yeah, I still have, as good as he is, when that name pops up, I think of that miracle on the Plains when, you know, Auburn beat Georgia when they never should have, because Josh Harvey Clemens, I felt like Jadar Johnson realized that pretty quickly against Auburn at the end of the game when he slammed that ball down. So that's a little bit sarcastic, but yeah, I'm with you. I like Josh Harvey Clemens back on that backside.
Yeah, I really do. And the thing is, Louisville's entire defense is good. I mean, these guys are big. They're strong. I don't see hardly any weaknesses at any level. They're solid on the defensive line. They can get after the passer. They're solid at the linebacker level. They're solid in the secondary. That's why I think this is going to be a low-scoring game.
Yeah, everybody's
I don't
calling
think,
45.
No,
45. Yeah,
no I don't think
you.
It is at all. I think this is going to be an old-fashioned tough man contest, honestly. I think whichever team comes out of there by winning the physical edge is going to win the football game. And I think that's something. Now, there is one thing that concerns me in an area when I look at it, is in these type of games, you always worry about your special teams. Bobby Petrino, as good as an offensive coach as he is, that man can flat coach special teams throughout his entire career. When he was with the Hogs, man, the Hogs had some of the best special teams that they had. They didn't beat themselves. They didn't drop the ball. They didn't make dumb decisions by dropping the ball on the 1 yard line, going in to score on a punt. You know, all of those things. And I think this is going to be a matchup. You know, me and Freelander talked about it a little bit yesterday. You know, Bobby Petrino versus Brent Venables. You know, that's must-see TV to me. And that's going to be something that, you know, I think somebody that could possibly have an enormous game is Farrell. When I look at some of the defensive players that could step up in this game, this game is tailor-made for Farrell. And the reason I say that is, he's athletic enough to squeeze that read option, and then he's athletic enough and fast enough to recover and chase down the pitch when they go into that type on their offense. See, everybody was talking about Florida State and this and that, and everybody coming up. This is the best defense that Louisville has faced, top to bottom, back to front, sideline to sideline.
Yeah.
And they are going to come after him, and they're going to hit him, and they're going to hit him hard, and they're going to see if he can stand in that pocket and continue
very
to go.
Quickly, the simple way I look at it is that you're right. Clemson's defense has proven to be better than Florida State's.
Yep.
63 points, though.
It's a ton.
Louisville doesn't have to score 63 points Saturday night.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Ball Nation on the phone lines. Thanks for being patient, bud. Hope you're having a good day.
I'm doing great, man. I was listening to you guys' conversation. I wanted to touch base on what y'all were talking about just right there. Me, myself, I've been watching football for a while, and I agree with most of you guys with what you're saying, but I think you guys are really giving, really, to me, Clemson's our defense a little bit more credit than they really should supposed to have. When you look at Auburn, who had a helter-skelter offense and could barely put two sticks together and rub them and make a fire, somehow they had they were running all up and down between the 20s. It's just when they got inside the 20-yard line in the red zone that they had an issue. And so if they had kicked the field goal instead of trying to go for it on fourth down, they might have beat Clemson, because Clemson's offense just was not executing and hasn't really executed until they played a high school team last week. They allowed, I don't know how many points they allowed Troy to score on them, where they only won by 6 points. And so I'm looking at a helter-skelter offense with Auburn. You're looking at Troy's offense, and then you're looking – and before that, I can't remember who they played in between there or after that. But anyway, the only team that they looked impressive against, like I said, was against a high school team that played Dorman the week before. So with all that in tune, now you got a guy that can do everything on the football field. They got young defensive ends. You got one linebacker that was injured, but I guess he's going to be coming back. You got a secondary, to me, that's really a little suspect, you know, in a lot of areas. And they got a lot of talent, they just don't have a lot of experience. And Bobby Petrino has been licking his chops and waiting for this particular game. I personally think they're going to put up at least 40 points on Clemson, and I don't know if Clemson's offense would be able to keep up. I predict something like 45-28 myself, but we'll know by midnight on Saturday night. That makes sense.
All right. I got you. All right.
Yeah. I mean, listen, cannot blame me at all for picking Louisville. And I think Louisville could absolutely win this game running away. I think it's possible they're that good. Clemson's defense, they are number three in the nation.
And they played Dorman last week, apparently. So,
Auburn going up and down the field in the between the 20. Auburn was 3-for-17 on third down, 262 yards. Now, that Auburn offense was it was a clown show with the quarterbacks, but Auburn wasn't moving the ball.
They got most of their yardage at the end of the game
They did. And listen, Clemson's defense, to me, has had more problems than anything else closing out games. Mm-hmm. Their fourth quarters, I've been meaning to do this. I haven't done this yet, but their first half defense and their second half defense has been totally different. And I'm not just chalking that up to, they're getting the starters out of there. It's been more than that. But Georgia Tech, 124 yards. I know this isn't the same Georgia Tech team that won the Orange Bowl 2 years ago, but that Georgia Tech team rolls out of bed and runs for 250 yards. Clemson's defense is legitimate. We're just going to find out on Saturday night how legitimate.
Yeah, listen, I feel like I'm pretty good with the eye test. Just go out there and watch what they're rolling out there on the field. And I'm telling you, everybody's entitled to their own opinion, but I think Clemson's defense is number three in the country, and I think it starts with rotating six defensive linemen.
They've been on the field a lot.
Yeah.
And that's something people need to remember. This defense is ranked third in the country, and the offense has put them in some bad situations in these first three ball games, and they've still been able to lock teams down. They held Auburn to 38. Look, Vol Nation is still living on the fumes of beating Florida for the first time in, 15, 20 years.
11.
11, okay, whatever.
Josh is a fact checker.
So, it's not that. I mean, Vol Nation disappeared. He hadn't shown up for like 6 weeks, and now he comes out the week of the Louisville game talking about 40
points
a game. Listen,
again, I could see Louisville winning big. Would not shock me. They'd be an excellent team.
I would be shocked.
I do think if Louisville wins the game, it's not going to be Clemson's defense's fault.
All right, speaking of numbers, when we come back, let's take a look at where Florida State's defense is this year, because I was shocked when I found out the number of points they're giving up a game, where they sit in the rankings when it comes to that, and a few other things. This is Straight Up with Sturge. We're live at Smoke on the Water, and we're live on ESPN Upstate.
Talk at 844-GSP-ESPN. Text 47183. Connect at ESPNUpstate.com.
It's Straight Up with Sturge.
Greenville, 105.9 FM and 1330 AM. Spartanburg, 97.1 FM and 950 AM. Straight Up with Sturge is on the air on ESPN Upstate.
You know, in a season where, quite frankly, the two best-looking teams so far, or maybe three, or Alabama, Louisville, and Ohio State. You know, one of those teams we expected to be, guys, was the Florida State Seminoles. You remember they were down, 28-6 before they scored a touchdown right before halftime of Ole Miss, which led that turnaround. And, of course, they gave up 35 points last week when it comes to playing South Florida. Florida State is now giving up 35 points per game. They're number 108 in the defensive category in that. They're giving up 6.7 yards per play. That's 121st in college football. Now, granted, they played two top 10 scoring offenses in Louisville and South Florida. Ole Miss has got a pretty good offense, but FSU's defense is just something that you always kind of consider.
Charleston Southern had like 260 yards or something.
Yeah, so, you know, this isn't your daddy's Florida State defense this year. But that's a little shocking to me when you look at how much physical talent. Now, the loss of Derwin James definitely hurt. But, Florida State, not what a lot of teams right now aren't exactly what we expected them to be after four games.
Yeah, and certainly we'll find out a lot more about Clemson and Louisville and the entire ACC on Saturday night. But I do think the schedule did not necessarily favor the Tigers in this regard, because Louisville is just so darn hot right now. You know, they're not waiting until later in the year when maybe Jackson would wear down and you'd have a little more tape on exactly how to stop them. Meanwhile, Florida State, they get to kind of settle some things out ahead of it's 1 month from today, isn't it? And today's the 20th. 1 month from today, Clemson goes to Florida State. Tallahassee, Doak Campbell, it's been a very difficult place to play for the Tigers. And, you know, by then they could be a little bit healthier. They could be a little bit more in rhythm. I think we shouldn't forget that Francois has been really very good. I mean, this weak start for Florida State has not been his fault at all, and he's only going to continue to get better. So not saying that Clemson can't win both of those games, Louisville, Florida State. It's just the way that the schedule ended up structured didn't really benefit the Tigers.
Josh, how much, you know, Aaron was talking about earlier, a three-day window opens up, and then if Louisville wins this game, how many tickets are sold to Northern Kentucky for the ACC championship game? Because, you know, a lot of it might be wrapped up at that point for Louisville if they are this good.
At that point, they'd have to lose twice.
Yeah.
If Louisville wins this game, it's over.
And their coastal opponents are Duke and Virginia.
Right. Yeah,
I mean, they couldn't have lined it better.
Exactly. Yeah, it's over. And that's the thing. I mean, they played the top two ones early and get them out of the way. And then there's nobody other than Clemson and Florida State that can match up with them athletically. As much as I'm on Florida State about being trash on defense, they're a lot like Tennessee. They got a lot of athletes, but they're soft, and they don't know what they're doing on that side of the ball. So it's not that they are void of talent, but they just don't know what to do with the talent that they got. So that's something. That's the biggest difference of Clemson is Clemson's got talent on the defensive side, and Coach Venables knows what to do with them and how to stop them. This game reminds me a lot, and you guys will remember this. A few years ago, Georgia comes into Death Valley off the season. Aaron Murray, Todd Gurley, that whole offense. Oh, they're going to come in there and they're going to run up and down the line on. You know, Clemson didn't have the defensive people to stop them. They're going to come into Death Valley, and they're just going to run up and down the field. They're going to hang 40 and 50 points against Clemson. And that defense wasn't anywhere near as good as what it is now facing legitimate players. I mean, there's seven players off that Georgia offense that's playing in the National Football League right now, and they got stoned. So you got to be careful. Yes, Louisville has gotten off to a fast start. Lamar Jackson is putting up great numbers. But nobody has checked their oil yet. And when you get into a fight, that's one thing about Clemson we know. They went on to Auburn. That was a tough, hard-fought game.
Right.
Okay, with legitimate athletes hitting each other in the head. Okay,
Auburn,
then they come
just
back.
Off LSU.
Yeah, Auburn. I mean, not that Auburn's anything great offensively, but they got four- and five-star guys running around the field down there. It's not like they're devoid of talent.
Yeah, I asked Dabo Swinney about it last night, Josh, was – In a backwards way, certainly the Auburn test, to a little degree Georgia Tech, and then even struggling against Troy late in the fourth quarter, in a backwards way, could that benefit the Tigers? Because, you know, to borrow the now famous game from almost 1 year ago, the BYOG game, Clemson's had its guts, had to be tested at Auburn against Troy, believe it or not. Louisville, for as great as they've been, they've not had to test their guts yet. Everything's been great so far. They've not taken a punch yet.
And I'm not saying they're not good. They are.
They are great.
Coming to Death Valley on a Saturday night at 8:22, the Clemson's used to this. They've been on this stage a lot. Dabo understands what it means to get his team ready.
All right, real quickly, because we have Aaron Brenner on the other side. Delvin, welcome in. Aaron Cheslock. Delvin,
always.
Welcome in.
Hey, guys, how y'all doing?
Man, great. It's Thursday. We're getting closer, bro.
Yeah, I hear that. Y'all talking about the game. To me, what's going to be the key aspect? Like, is it somebody out there that we're not talking about right now that is going to be the talk of the game at the end of the midnight Saturday, you might as well say? We're like, he came up and stepped up big for, like, either on the offensive side of the ball or the defensive side of the ball that we're not talking about now, but could be who we're talking about at the end of the game.
Ooh, that's a good question, Dalvin. Do you want Clemson or Louisville?
It could be either both.
Yeah, I can't really, outside of a Jarvis Hyrie Clemens or Lamar Jackson.
You know, I'll say this, at least from a local media standpoint, Delvin. Christian Wilkins, we weren't able to meet with him. He had a schedule thing on Monday. I think Christian Wilkins' impact on this game has been a bit overlooked. Mm-hmm. And Josh mentioned earlier this could be a Cleveland Farrell game. Wilkins, he's going to play defensive end again because Austin Bryant is not going to play. And Bryant probably would have gotten some limited snaps, but Wilkins definitely out there on the edge again. And he's the kind of player who can disrupt Lamar Jackson. I mean, if he's able to get a load of his 300-pound frame on Jackson, I think he could have an impact on the game. Want to see how Jordan Leggett does, both as a lead blocker and in the red zone.
How about Deion Kane? Yeah,
I think, yeah, totally. Because Clemson's
sprint.
Clemson's downfield receiving game has just been non-existent.
Right.
And I think Deion Kane's emergence as a freshman last year, before all his troubles, that was a big reason for that. So I like Deion Kane, too.
Yeah.
If Dalvin, if not one guy, I just named three, but not from a personnel perspective, the biggest key to this game, I think, is Louisville on first downs. Because Louisville is, I think ESPN tracks all these teams' average yardage on first downs. They are averaging 2 yards more on first downs than any other team in the country. Clemson has to get Louisville behind the sticks so that they can pin their ears back on third down.
All right, let's go to Fox Carolina when we return. Our good friend, Aaron Czeslaw.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.